I'm not on. There I am. Good morning, everyone. This is my wife, Sue. You look so bright. And I look so gray. I feel like a black and white TV next to an HD. So we're here to talk about, Sue leads a number of things here at this church, including women's discipleship. And that's starting up again this fall. And you want to say a few words about it?
I do. First, I just want to say that I love women. I love women. Any age, any size, any place. And I have a group of leaders who love women as well. And we are going to start, I think, our sixth year of discipleship at Trinity. And it starts in September and it goes until the beginning of May. And I have some slots open for women, both in the day and in the evening. And we are going to be studying the parables of Jesus. Deep study, but it's also a deep place to know women. Because we have a section of discipleship where we learn about each other in a deep way. So it's a combination of those two things. But I do want to say that it's my heart's desire for women to know how to navigate and learn their Bibles on their own, to know how to do that. And so that is part of what we do in discipleship as well.
Okay. So what kind of commitment is it?
So it's a 9-month commitment from September to May. It's once a week, 2 hours a week, and it's groups of 8 women.
Okay. And if they want to know more, what do they do?
Okay. So there's little cards that I think they're going to be doing for every small group, but I'm going to be out in the gathering space after the service. If you want to bring that little card out and you're interested, we can talk more about it.
Great.
Okay.
Done?
Done.
Can I turn you off?
Thank you.
No, you can have that.
Oh, that was not nice.
The card that she mentioned, I want you to look at the seat back in front of you, and you're going to see a little card. You're going to see it on the screen, too. There it is. There are a number of ways, as we head into the fall, I want you to know about this. Worship is a high, important experience here, to be part of corporate worship. And yet to be part of something smaller, where growth, spiritual growth can happen, and something as simple as people know your name is really, really important as well. And so whether you've been at Trinity for many, many years or you're new since COVID, my challenge to you is to consider being a part of something beyond Sunday morning worship. And those are the opportunities, men and women there. You'll hear, I just want to walk through them. Manly Mondays, it's something we do once a month. You'll hear more about it for all the men of the church, where we talk about very pertinent topics in 1 hour. We have a lot of fun. We do a trivia contest. We do all kinds of, we have morning groups. I lead a morning group on Thursday morning. Pastor Ty is going to be leading a morning group for fathers. So be aware of that. And I'll tell you what to do with that in a moment. For men and women together, a couple of things to know. Three Sunday morning classes. Most of our focus in smaller groups are during the week, but we do have three Sunday morning classes I want you to know about. One is for seniors. One is for men and women. The head of our elder board, Jeff Wilson, teaches that. And one is for women. My wife teaches a women's class starting this fall. So Sunday morning classes. Then we have a whole bunch of small groups that meet in homes that are based on our sermons. So know that as well. All throughout the week, all throughout Lake Geauga, Cuyahoga County. Okay. Then we have care groups. That's divorce care. For people going through divorce, grief share for people that are going through grief. And this fall, starting in October, we're going to have a third care group called cancer care. And if in the last year or so, you or a loved one have experienced cancer and the whole experience that is with, we are going to start a care group for that. So be on the lookout for that as well. And then there are all kinds of electives that we'll be teaching. So look at those. And then go on the women's side. Sue just mentioned women's discipleship. Then there will be regular women's gatherings. And then we've been hearing a lot about moms to tots. If you are a mother from a child from birth to kindergarten, that's moms to tots that meets once a month. Okay, you heard my spiel. Take this card and throughout my message, throughout the rest of the service, do you have the card in your hand? If one of those sounds interesting to you, you feel like, man, I need to be a part of that, I want you to circle it and I want you to put your name and your information on it. You can put it in the offering boxes. You can give it to me or one of the staff members. If you're going to go talk to Sue, you can give it to her. But I really want you to consider, if you've been here forever or brand new to Trinity, take the next step of connecting in group. Yeah, it was weak. Say yes. Bible, I'm going to ask you to turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11. If you don't, in the seat in front of you, there are Bibles. Grab one and turn to page 559. Okay, found it? Good. We're in a series called Riddle Me This, where Solomon is our author, and basically he looks at life as a big riddle, a big enigma. And this morning's passage is no different. I'm going to be in Ecclesiastes 12. Did I say 11? I'll be in Ecclesiastes 12, although we're going to go back to 11. First line of Ecclesiastes 12 says this: remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Remember your Creator while you're still young. How old are you? What accomplishments in your life have you not finished yet that you'd really like to finish? How old are you? When I was a younger lad, I was really into rock and roll music, primarily the 60s and 70s. I even played some guitar. And one of the recurring themes of the rock and rollers was getting old. And so Neil Young had a song. Actually, it was one of the first songs I learned how to play on guitar. I used to play it in my apartment in Kent. Old man. Old man, take a look at my life. I'm a lot like you. The Who had a song. I think the song was My Generation. But in that song, they had a line in that song that says, I hope I die before I get old. Wow. And then, of course, the Beatles, in their Sgt. Pepper album, they had a song called When I'm 64. Will you still feed me when I'm 64? Much later, McCartney was asked about that song, and he said he wrote it when he was really, really young. And he wrote it because old age seemed so far off in the distant. It seemed so odd, and it seemed like he would never get there. He got there. Remember your Creator while you are still young. Yesterday, we had our Trinity golf outing. And unfortunately, I had one of the guys on my team was Adam, great 30-something guy that just creamed the ball. Now, unfortunately, he had three old guys on his team, and we just dragged him down like nobody's business. We're all getting older. We're all going to get old. Remember your Creator while you're still young. I can remember when I was a little boy, and I remember the age 13 seemed so far out there. And I thought, oh, I can't wait till I'm 13. I'll be so old. And then when I was 13 or 15, I remember turning 18 was going to be so cool. In my high school years, I lived in Warren, Ohio, which was almost near the Pennsylvania line. And the reason I wanted to turn 18, because you could drive over into Pennsylvania, into Sharon, PA, and go to the Toot and Scoot and get 3-2 beer when you were 18. Most people don't know what 3-2 beer is, but I was talking with a staff member recently who's going to turn 40 soon. It seems momentous. Remember your Creator while you are still young. We think we're going to last forever. We think we have all the time in the world. Guys, we're all mortal. Clock of time is ticking, it's ticking, it's ticking. Remember your Creator while you are still young. That's this section of Ecclesiastes. And he wants to get our attention right away. He calls him the Creator to remember God made you. and he gave you the gift of life. Unwrap it. Use it. Enjoy it. Remember your Creator while you are still young. That's Ecclesiastes 12:1. And so we could ask the question, how? How am I supposed to remember my Creator while I'm still young? Well, it's the first verse of chapter 12 in Ecclesiastes, and it's what I would call a hinge verse because it points backward to the end of chapter 11. And he basically says the way you remember your Creator while you're still young is by enjoying your life responsibly while you still can. Here's what he says. These are the last two verses of the previous chapter. Okay, so chapter 11, verse 9 and 10. He says, rejoice, young person, while you're young. Let your heart be glad in the days of youth. In other words, don't be so busy with school, with work, with life. Don't take life so seriously. Lighten up a little bit. And walk in the ways of your heart and in the desires of your eyes. What's he saying? He says, your Creator made you. Walk in the ways of your heart. When your heart is pure, the things that are in your heart, God made you that way. God made you with your tastes. God made you of your heart and in the desires of your eyes. And just go sin. Enjoy your life. Now, he never says, go and enjoy your life and just go sin like mad. No, that's not what he says. Look at the next line. But know that for all these things, God will bring you to judgment. Live responsibly. God is your Creator. So he's never going to say, just go live any way you want and just wreck the machine of your body that he gave you. Oh, no. The one who made your body is going to tell you how to use your body and to use it well. And then he says, remove sorrow from your heart. Try to live life in the major key. Put away pain from your flesh because youth and the prime of life are fleeting. How old did you say you were? What accomplishments in your life do you still have to pursue? Time is fleeting. The crocodile is ticking. Learn to play the piano or the guitar now. Learn to play tennis now. Maybe even pickleball. Although I think that's a cult. Can I just say that? Enjoy your kids. Are they 5? They're going to be 15 tomorrow. And they're going to be 25 the day after tomorrow. Just got a text from a friend. I haven't seen him in years. I did his wedding 3 days ago. His oldest daughter is getting married next month. It's like, how did that happen? Take care of yourself. Travel if you can. Go live off the grid for a few days. Throw your phone away. Just take your Bible and a journal. Find your soul. Find Christ again. Do it because time is running out. Invest in people. And do it responsibly. Know that all of us are accountable for our actions, our words, our lives. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Do it while you're young. Remember your Creator and His Son Christ while you're young. You know, most people come to faith in Jesus Christ when they're really young. It's not impossible when you're older, but it's improbable. I came to faith in Christ as a college student. My heart was still searching. I was still a little moldable. I didn't have all the answers yet. When did you come to faith? Have you yet? The older you are, the harder it is. How about your kids? That's why we prioritize children's ministry, by the way. That's such an important stage of life. Now, you can when you're older. I remember Sue's dad, he passed away during COVID. And during his funeral, we celebrated that we believed he was in the presence of Christ now. And he was a 60-some-year-old man, I think, when we started a church. And I had the privilege of, with trepidation, talking with him over the lunch table about his relationship with Christ. And God was able to even soften a 60-some-year-old man's heart. So it's possible. But remember your Creator while you're young. Enjoy your life. It's a gift. Open it up. Open it up. When my dad passed away some years ago and he was dividing up his estate, my dad was a coin collector. And one of the things that he did, he had all of these pretty significant gold coins. And there were four of us kids. So he divided it up in fourths. Wow, thanks, Dad. And so I just sort of hid them away. My younger brother was driving me crazy because he took a safety deposit box, that's Robert, and put it in the bank. I just had it in an old bag wrapped up in my closet. He said, "You're nuts. Hide those things." All right. So I hid them in a different closet. But I never opened it up. When my daughters got married, you know, pastors do okay. Nobody's getting rich being a pastor, at least not many are. When my daughter got married, I really wanted to have a great wedding for her. And my daughter and my dad were Mutt and Jeff. And my dad, that my dad missed his granddaughter's wedding was really sad, but he passed away before that. And then I thought, you know what? Let me open the gift of these gold coins and cash some in. And that'll be my dad's investment in his granddaughter's wedding. And we did it. And it was a really cool experience. God has given you life, the gold of life. Enjoy it. Chapter 12 now, poignant poem. Chapter 12 is an interesting poem. It's a poignant poem. It's an honest poem that continues with the idea that life is fleeting. The idea is still remember your Creator, but then he puts this poem together that describes why you need to enjoy your life and honor your God now. And in this poem, he's got the word before three times. They're sort of the division of the poem. And so enjoy your life before adversity comes. Remember your God and enjoy your life before your age advances and before death arrives. Well, here's what he says. I just want to walk you through it. So remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Number one, before the days of adversity come and the years approach when you'll say, I got no delight in those. My mom's 90-something now, 91, I guess. And I hear her say that all the time. I have no delight in life anymore. It's kind of sad. And it's because the days of adversity have come. You know, the physical ailments and the arthritis and the mental memory problems and even the mental issues and good friends are beginning to pass away. And so in many ways, the joy is lost. Sometimes the will is lost. Remember your Creator while you're still young, before adversity comes. Because the adversity of growing old is going to take up so much of your mental, emotional attention before adversity comes and before age advances. Verses 2 through 5 are, Lord Byron never wrote as good a poem. It's a beautiful, I say beautiful because his metaphors are going to describe is clear. That's why I want to walk you through them. What he's going to describe is the ancient Near Eastern winter metaphor that falls upon a human life or even a human body. And here's how he says it. Verse 2, this is winter. Before the sun and the light are darkened and the moon and the stars are too. In other words, the day's getting shorter. It's getting darker earlier and darker later in the morning. All of that happens, and the clouds return in Israel, it's after the rain. We'd say after the snow. It's always cloudy. It snowed, and now it's cloudy again, and the days are so short. But it's he's describing a winter day in a metaphor. It's a winter day that's falling upon a human life or a human body. And he even uses, in his poetry, even uses the description of a house a little bit. But he's describing your body and mine as we get older. Here's how he says it. And you'll see the metaphor here. On the day when the guardians of the house tremble. Who are the guardians of the house? Most commentators agree it's probably your legs. The guardians of the house, they're the pillars of your house, and they tremble as you get older. And so the pillars are shaking, and so the house isn't nearly as stable. And the strong men stoop. Many of you know our dear friend Von Fox, who the strong man of this church, who now in his older age is stooping. He's talking about a person's back. And as you get older, you begin to be bent over. Notice he's talking about the body. He's not talking about the character, by the way. If you know Von, you know what a strong, godly man that guy is, even though he's stooped. You'll be able to pick this description of a body part out, I bet. The women who grind at your teeth, and now there's only a few of them. I have a picture of a woman, an old woman on the subway in Italy. The old even ride the subway in Italy. And she's looking at this young child on the subway, and she's just laughing and smiling at the young child, and she barely has any teeth in her mouth. Remember your Creator while you're still young. And the ones who watch through the windows see dimly. What's that? That's your eyes. The windows see dimly. It's, you know, I had LASIK done. It helped somewhat, but now I have those squiggly lines. Do you get those? They're ridiculous. You know when they happen? When I'm playing tennis and a hard shot comes right at me. I can blame the squiggly line, but it's really, but it is. It's like, wait, where did that go? And it's like, and I asked my eye doctor about it. He said, well, they can take care of it, but the threat of damage is worse than the squiggly line. Live with it. You see dimly. Your eyesight is getting worse and worse. Remember your Creator while you're still young. The doors at the street are shut while the sound of the mill fades. What's he describing there? He's describing your hearing. The doors of the street are shut. Normally, if the doors of the street are open and it's a busy street, you're hearing all the traffic. No, they're shut. You don't hear it really that well. Went to the Cleveland Clinic a couple years ago because I've noticed just a wee bit of hearing loss. The first thing he said, I did this long test. And finally, the audiologist, they were talking. He said, his first question to me was, were you in a rock band when you were a teenager? I said, yeah. He said, yeah, that's where you're missing. We see it all the time. I said, well, what is it? He said, you know, interestingly enough, it's the band. So if Sue says something I don't like, I just, he did. How are your ears? He did say, we could test and put some hearing aid. I said, man, I'm too proud for that. He said, I can't fix that. I can fix your hearing. When one rises at the sound, notice, hearing problems. But when one rises at the sound of a bird, it's light sleep. My mom, when she comes to stay with us, shh, quiet, you'll wake Nonna up. I thought she was hard of hearing. She is, but she still wakes up just like that. It's like, I don't get it. And the daughters of the song grow faint. Can't hear the music very well. And then come these inordinate fears. Also, they're afraid of heights and dangers on the road. The almond tree blossoms. You know what that is? If you've ever seen an almond tree blossom, it's all white. Your hair grows gray. People, by the way, ask me, do you dye your hair? No. I'm very proud of the fact that I have all dark hair, pretty much. I've got a few. Some of you gave them to me. This is an interesting phrase. The grasshopper loses its spring. The caperberry has no effect. I'll be as quick as I can here. What he's talking about is, I'll say it on a Sunday morning, amorous desire and ability wanes. Caperberry was an aphrodisiac of the ancient Near East. Even that is trouble. And then here's the reason for all of this downfall. For the mere mortal is headed to his eternal home. That's where you know it's all going. Where's all this going? Here's where it's going. It's a process, and it's eternal home. It's an irreversible process. And the mourners walk around on the street, and it's a sad process. The who says, I hope I die before I get old. And yet, hear the words of the Apostle Paul. If Christ is in you, though the body is dying, the spirit is alive because of righteousness. Make a note of that. We'll get back to that. Remember your Creator while you're still young, before adversity comes, before age advances, and finally before death arrives, because then it's too late. Here's how he describes. Here's the third before, verse 6. And he's describing two things, a lamp and a well. A lamp and a well. Here's the lamp. Before the silver cord is snapped and the gold bowl is broken. Picture the lamp maybe in your living room that's hanging on a cord, and then the bowl. When the cord snaps, the bowl breaks, shatters everywhere. And in essence, he's reminding us that although our life is precious, it's fragile. And now he's going to describe a well and the gears of a well, an old well that is broken down. And as the bucket is lowered, the gear of the well breaks and the bucket shatters to the bottom of the well. That's what he says. And the jar is shattered at the spring, and the wheel is broken into the well. Our bodies, guys, are like ornate pottery. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, whoever you are. And yet know as well, as ornate as our bodies are, they are highly fragile. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men could not put Humpty Dumpty back together again. Except you've got verse 7. And with the Creator, it sounds like Genesis. We're going back to Genesis in reverse. Dust returns to the Creator as it once was. It's Genesis in reverse, though, isn't it? Instead of the dust becoming life, it is life becoming dust. And the body is no longer animated by God's breath or by God's spirit. And the dust returns to the earth as it once was, and the spirit returns to the God who gave it. In many ways, guys, he's defining what life is. Human life is the combination of your physical body and spirit, your soul. Those two things together make your life. When the spirit goes, you're dead. And so sometimes you hear it at a funeral or the calling hours, and it's an open casket. And someone will say, oh, he looks so peaceful. He's not there. He's reminding us what life is and what death is. Death is inevitable, but it's not final. The dust returns to the ground. That's your burial. Spirit returns to the earth. Death, don't think of death as extinction, by the way. You'll no longer exist. Think of death as separation. It's the separation of your body from your spirit. And when that happens, we call you dead. Doesn't mean you don't exist. You do exist. Here's what he says. And the spirit returns to the God who gave it. So remember, way back in the beginning, enjoy your life and live it responsibly. Why? Because one day you're going to go back and you're going to give an account to your life from the God who gave it. So if death is separation, your body from your spirit, spiritual death is also separation from you and your creator. When I fail that exam, that's spiritual death, me and the creator, because I failed forever. Us. He died for your sins and mine. He took on our accountability. And one of the last things Jesus said as he was dying on the cross for my sin and yours, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He suffered that separation on my behalf and on yours. And by a simple receiving of that gift of spiritual life, I will no longer ever have to be spiritually dead. I will forever be accepted in the presence of God because Christ replaced me and was separated for me. Here's how the book of Romans puts it. I want you to hear this. Romans 8 says this. Now, if Christ, I already quoted this verse. If Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit gives you life because of his righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, how does it live in me? By receiving the gift of grace in Christ. If it lives in me, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also bring your mortal body to life through his Spirit. So in many ways, Solomon's words are really, really clear. Know God, remember your creator while you're still young. And your creator now, even though your finality of physicality is inevitable, your eternality is promised in Christ. That's our hope. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will bring all of our mortal bodies, that's where we're all going, to life. Remember your creator while you are still young and celebrate the gift of Christ's new life by receiving it responsibly, accordingly. Would you pray with me, please? Father, I pray for everyone in this room, whether they're 8 or 80, or everyone in between. Thank you for the gift of life, and thank you for the gift of Christ. Lord, I pray that while we still can, while our hearts are still open, you would enable us to receive Christ either for the first time or continue to walk in him in obedience and in joy. And so for every one of us in this room, I pray that we would celebrate the life you have given us in Christ and live it well with joy while we still can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.